That was a real word for somebody there this morning, that you may be facing a situation and you don't know what to say. God said, let me do it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's good. What a wonderful time of worship. Now this morning I want to talk to you. What God has put in my heart this past week has been from the book of 2 Peter, where Peter talks about like precious faith, and we're going to talk about that. But let me tell you a little story by way of an introduction. How many of you know what an atheist is? Well, some of you are not sure. An atheist, someone who doesn't believe in the Lord. But it says an atheist was fishing in Loch Ness in Scotland. And as he was fishing there, suddenly a huge dragon-like type of monster came out of the waters and was coming up the beach toward him, snarling and snapping and biting his teeth. And right there, he said, oh God, please save me. And remember, he's an atheist. Suddenly, everything stopped. Nothing's happening. This monster has stopped. The clouds have stopped. And there's a voice comes out of the clouds. And the voice says, I thought you didn't believe in me. The atheist thought for a moment and said, oh God, give me another chance. 2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness monster either. So it's interesting what circumstances will do to change our thinking. And let me read that scripture to you that I mentioned. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Put it up for me. Thanks, Cassandra. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those, now listen to the words, who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. What an interesting verse that is. You know, if you were watching the royal wedding last night, as we did, and I suppose some of you did too, and Elizabeth put on her tiara and she got into it, only for a moment or two. But it was interesting to listen to the American bishop who did the eulogy. He did the speech, and he had some interesting things to say. And he really challenged the royals and the people who were there about love and about faith and so on. And I think that's probably the first time that many of them have ever even heard the gospel. He was very, very, very good, very direct, and really hit them. And it made me think about this verse. It says that we have obtained this like precious faith, because real Christianity is in short demand in many places. And even where they were being married last night, they have a form of religion, but not a lot of real Christianity, if I could put it that way. And you know, many of God's people are confused because they haven't been told what the truth is. And I don't know if you understand this. The devil isn't so concerned about denying Christianity. He's more concerned about sowing seeds of doubt. He's more concerned about sowing seeds of distrust. He's more concerned about sowing seeds of, well, it may not be that way. He's a great salesman. The devil is a salesman, and he sells lies, because the Bible says he's a liar and the father of it. But he sells these lies to people who are confused by what's happening to them, because what's happening in their life is not what they're supposed to be receiving according to the Word of God. And there's many devious disciples out there. That's an interesting thought. There's many devious disciples out there who are standing in pulpits, perhaps just even like this one, and trying to sell terrible doctrines to people to believe things, and they're being motivated and moved by the devil. And he's out to, as I said, maybe not deny it, but corrupt the truth. He's trying to get us to believe things that are not true, trying to get us to that place where we're not operating in this like precious faith. We're operating in what we think is happening and what have we been told in such and such a place. You need to be very, very careful what you allow to filter into your life from people who purport to say this is what the Bible says. Because they don't always say what the Bible says. Many of them say what they think it says. They say, well, I think it says this and I think it says that. But what does it say? You have to come to a place where you really know what you really know, not just something you think you know. You come to that place where you really do know. See, you're facing a choice today. Because we're here in the service and it's just after 11 a.m. on this Sunday morning, and you face a choice. You're either going to believe the Word of God, and the things that you choose today are going to bring your tomorrow into focus. They're going to bring you tomorrow to that place where you're going to believe it. We've got to come to a place where we're not so passive about what's happening. The church has become let's just accept anything. It doesn't matter. Anything will be okay as long as I pray. People think, well, I'll just pray. But do they pray? That's the thing. We were talking to someone this week, and I was listening to Elizabeth speaking to someone on the phone. And she was very, very, very direct. I mean, she said, you're wrong. That's not what the Bible says. And she spoke the word and quoted the word, and I'm thinking, yeah, I could preach that on Sunday. That's good stuff. And, but we've got to take, see, the person she was talking to goes to a church and they don't teach anything like this. She believes that she's sick and that that's what God wants for her, and maybe one of these days, perhaps if she prays enough, it might get well. But don't know how to pray. Know how to pray the little, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord the sheep to keep type of prayer. That doesn't get the job done. You've got to pray the Word of God. You take this word. God says, no word that I speak will return to me void in Isaiah 55, but it will accomplish what I sent it to do, and it'll prosper in the thing that I sent it to. See, if you want healing, you've got to take these healing scriptures and pray them back to Father. Amen. Pray them back to God again. Yes. You have to exercise this like precious faith. Don't become passive and just accept it like I say. There's so many people in the world, well, let me rephrase that. So many people in the churches today, they're more interested in what's on at the local cinema than they are what's happening in the book. More interested in what's happening, what's the latest TV program? What can we see on TV tonight rather than go to church? It's not so long ago, I remember, when we used to always have a 3 p.m. and a 6 p.m. service. That's right. That's good. Russell's showing his age now. And I remember going to, service start at 3, but Elizabeth and I, because I was involved, I'd be there by 12:30, 1 o'clock. And so we'd be there at least a couple of hours before the service would start. We're involved in setting things up and doing all of that. And then the service would go from 3 to 5, and then between 5 and 6 we'd have something to eat. And then start again at 6 o'clock and go from 6 to 8, and then by the Elizabeth saying that was wonderful. And by the time we got cleared up afterwards, it was 10:30 or 11. Elizabeth and the children were sleeping in the back of the car, and I was still doing the final clear-up. I mean, it was a whole day. We were going out from 12 lunchtime right through to 11 o'clock at night. And we traveled from Bundoora to Ringwood to do it. What am I talking about? I'm talking about using our faith. And what we're doing today is a result of what we sowed in those days. We sowed our life into it in those days. See, I believe God wants to do more for you than you want God to do. There are things that God wants to fulfill in your life. I think He has sudden acts of impossibilities that He wants to do for you that you've been looking for Him to do, but you haven't yet known how to receive it. Look at Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. All the things are mentioned in the previous verses. All these things shall be added to you. All these things, not some of these things. So we're spending so much time trying to get the things, and God has already made them available to us. Put up the next one for me, Cassandra, thanks. John 1 and 16. It says, of His fullness have we all received of His fullness, have we all received in grace for grace. That's not so very long ago. I was listening to someone on Christian television, and he made this wonderful statement, and there was a time when I would have agreed with him. I don't anymore. He said, we have to come to that place where we're receiving the double portion. I thought, well, that sort of rings around a little bit, because I remember in my early days when someone would preach on getting the double portion, I thought, oh, that'd be great, we'd get the double portion. But then I read John 1:16 and found out I had the fullness.
Yes,
I didn't need the double portion when I had the fullness. And so we come to that place where we begin to exercise this like precious faith. Listen to the Message Bible for John 1:16, the Message. Listen to this, it says, we all live off His generous bounty. Gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then the exuberant giving and receiving, the endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. See, it's no longer double portions. It's now the exuberant and generous bounty of the Lord. We've come to that place, folks, where we've got to learn to live out of what He has said, not what we're experiencing or what religion tells us. We come to that place. Let me read 2 Peter to you again. I read it before. But it says 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. With us, Peter says, by the righteousness of our God and Jesus Christ our Savior. Now listen to the Passion. Naomi mentioned the Passion before. If you've never read The Passion, I've only started recently reading it, I would recommend it to you. It's a great translation. But here it is, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 in The Passion. This letter is from Simon Peter, a loving servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to those who have been given a faith, listen to it, as equally precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That phrase, like precious faith, means of equal value and honor. Of equal value and honor. The Greek word is, I'll spell it to you, isotomos, isotomos. And it means not only of equal value, but also very costly and valuable. We have this like precious faith, which is very costly and valuable, and it comes through righteousness.
Amen.
You have to understand you are the righteousness of God.
Amen.
In Christ. We receive this like precious faith when we receive the Lord, and it's something that's honorable, it's something that's wonderful, and it's just like what our friend Peter had. We could say it's a subjective type of faith to some people, but really, God has given the same revelation to everyone who's born again. Not everyone accepts it, not everyone takes it, but it's a common and precious faith for all of us, and we need to exercise it, and it's important because I believe God gave us the ability to understand it. He gave us the ability to receive it, and so as we spend time in this book, as we meditate in this book, it's going to become available to us more and more and more. And the more time we spend studying the book, the more our understanding of this great and precious faith will become. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a scripture there we're going to look at. But you see, we were all bound and tied. Every one of us, we were bound and tied because we inherited the sin nature from grandfather Adam. All of us received that. Doesn't matter who you are. That's where you come from. That's where you are. But it says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, but it says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who did not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We were perishing because we came from Adam. Our minds were blinded. We didn't understand these things. There was a time when I didn't know any of this stuff. And yet I'd gone to church most of my young life. I'd been involved in church programs. But I didn't know. But you can reach a place, beloved, today. You can reach a place where the mist and the clouds of doubt and worry and fear and all of those things will dissipate and go. We can come to that place. And you know what? That happened to me when I was lying in a hospital bed in Ireland. I laid in that bed for 14 months after a major motor accident. And when I went into that bed after the accident, I knew nothing about what I'm sharing with you today. But as I laid in that hospital bed for 14 months, my mind began to clear, the clouds began to go, things began to happen, and I came to a place where when Elizabeth came to visit me, I said, "Would you ask your minister to come and see me?" And she had been praying for some 13 months. Her prayer had been almost every night, "Lord, save my husband. Lord, heal my husband. And oh yes, Lord, clean up his mouth." Because I worked in clubs and pubs. And I had a language, and I'm sure most of you who are here today have heard the language and perhaps even used it. But it's not language that I use anymore, because God did something wonderful. But when her minister came to see me, and there's a whole story in that, but I'm not going to go into it for time's sake. But when he came to see me, he said, "Norm, you need to be saved." I said, "I'm a Presbyterian." I didn't know what he meant by saved. And he explained to me very quickly and led me to Christ. And I got born again in that hospital bed. It took me another 2.5-3 years to recover from the accident. And here we are today doing what we're doing, preaching the word, ministering to thousands of people around the world every week by the internet, both written and verbal communication because of the availability of the internet and all of that. And it's amazing. But you know, when that happened to me in that hospital bed, Galatians 2:20 became a reality. I didn't understand it then. I do today. Galatians 2:20 says this. Listen to it. "I have been crucified with Christ." It's important that you understand that. You have been. Yes. Not going to be. From God's point of view, you have already been crucified with Christ. And Paul says it's no longer I, that's Saul he's talking about, who lives. No longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I, Paul, now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, there's a change in there. You need to see that. He was Saul, and he was killing the Christians. He was a Jew's Jew. He was a man who went out, and when he found anyone who confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, he'd kill him. Just kill him. But then God met him, pulled him down off his high horse. He's on the road, riding his horse. And Jesus meets him on the road. And he has an encounter with Christ, and he's changed forever. So he obtained this like precious faith that Peter is talking about. And this is available to you and me today. And it comes when we allow. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. There's a scripture in John, I think it is, about chapter 3. And it's John the Baptist makes a statement. And John the Baptist uses this statement. He says, "I, John, must decrease and he, Jesus, must increase." In other words, there's got to be less of me, less of Norman, less of Jim, less of you, whatever your name is, there's less of you and more of Jesus. In other words, people ought to see Christ in you. They ought to see there's something about you that's different. And that's when God begins to impart this like precious faith into you and things begin to happen and you're no longer the person you were. You're now taking on the whole form of Jesus and becoming more and more and more like him. Day by day by day, every day things are changing. People are seeing a different, what's different about you? Well, there's less of me and more of him. It's taking time, but it's working out that way. You know, even the people in the Old Testament, they were able to use this faith. They didn't fully understand it, but Hebrews 11 verse 32 to 34 says this. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith, he's talking about like precious faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in the battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised back to life again. They were using this like precious faith. They didn't understand it, but it was available to them. But it's more available to you and I today because Jesus prayed a prayer for us in John 17. Look at it, John 17, verse 23 and 17 through 23. He said, this is Jesus talking to his Father, and he's talking about you and he's talking about me. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me, he said, into the world, I have also sent them, speaking of the disciples. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, the disciples, but also for those who will believe on me through their word. That's you and me. See, you're believing this because somebody told you these things. Somebody told the person who told you, who somebody told, and it goes all the way back to the disciples. Who through their word, they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, and they may be one just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved them as you have loved me. Now, God loves you with the same love that he loves Jesus. You have to get that into your thinking today. Let me read 2 Peter to you again. We've read it a couple of times, but I'm just going to read it one more time from the New King James, and then I'm going to read the English Standard Version. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now listen to this one. This is the English Standard Version. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing. Let me read that to you again. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Equal standing with Peter. Think about that for a moment. Peter was an apostle, I guess with a capital A. He was hand-picked by Jesus. There were many exciting things about Peter. He was the first one to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. He saw Jesus transfigured on the mountaintop in Matthew 17. He was the first apostle to see the resurrected Jesus. He preached the first evangelistic sermon at Pentecost. He boldly confronted the Sanhedrin when they questioned him about the lame man that had been healed. He was the first to preach to the Gentiles. Sick people were brought out into the street that when Peter's shadow would touch them, they'd be healed. And Peter actually wrote the scripture that I've been reading to you this morning and is taken by the Holy Spirit for you and for me. Like precious faith. Think about that. This is the faith we're talking about. This is what Peter did, and he had that faith, and he says, you have that like precious faith. You have faith of equal value. You have the same expensive, if you like, valuable, overcoming faith. And Peter goes on. Let me read some more of his writing to you. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2, this is what he says. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, as his divine power has given unto us all things. You should have it underlined in your Bible. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Everything you need for this life and for your spiritual life. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. This precious faith, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. But then he says, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And he says, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted or blind, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Next verse, it says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 10 with me just one more time. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never fall, never stumble.
Amen.
Interesting. See, you have to be, can I use an Irish expression? You have to be sure that you're sure. You have to come to that place where you understand that you have this faith. Can I share another little story with you? And this is a personal one. Going back to probably about 1980, I guess, somewhere in that. The stories sometimes get a little bit cloudy after 20 or 30 years. But around about 1980, we were traveling in Australia, and we had been, the Lord had wonderfully provided for us a brand new vehicle, and the vehicle was a Volkswagen bus, combi bus. It was brand new. It was a 1978 model. We'd been able to buy it new. We'd had some money, and that was it. That was what we got. And it was the first model that had a petrol gauge in it. All the old Volkswagens never had any petrol gauges in them. You just had to go by faith. But this vehicle had a petrol gauge, and we were in Adelaide preaching, and we're on our way home again to Melbourne. We'd left Adelaide in the late afternoon and early evening. And we got as far as Horsham. And we got to the town of Horsham. It was about 11 o'clock at night. And I noticed that the petrol gauge was on E. I mean, it was pushing. And so I took one of my business cards out of my pocket and put it over the petrol gauge so I wouldn't see it. Because you can't look at a petrol gauge if you're trying to believe God. And so Elizabeth and the two girls are in the back, and they're probably sleeping, I suppose. But Ian was up front. He always liked to sit up front. You know, boys like to be at the front where the driving's happening and knowing all the things that are going on. And so I said, yeah, Ian, the gauge is telling us that we're out of fuel, so I need you to pray, son. I need you to start praying. And I said, you need to pray and pray like you've never prayed before. Because I'm driving around Horsham looking for a garage to get some petrol. And, of course, 11 o'clock in a country town, everyone, forget it. Everywhere was closed. So we just headed on the road heading to Melbourne. And Ian, he's got his head down there and he's praying, oh, Father, we thank you. And he's about, I think, 13 or 14 years old. And he's praying away there. And Lord, we need gas. Oh, we need petrol in this vehicle. And he's just praying and praying and praying. He got his head down. And I didn't think anything about it. I just kept driving. We're driving on Ian's faith. We rolled into Ballarat 2 hours later. Now, the vehicle was out of fuel in Horsham. And here we are rolling into Ballarat. And if you know anything about the area, some of you may, coming into Ballarat from the Adelaide side, there used to be a Golden Fleece service station on the that stretch of road where they had all the trees with the, I've forgotten what they're called. The Roll of Honor, that's right. And so we're coming up, here's this filling station, the lights are still on. I thought, oh great, we'll get some fuel. So we just come in, and the guy was putting the keys, you know, the locks on the bowsers, on the petrol. It's now 1 o'clock in the morning. And he would never be there at that time, because they'd always be closed. But he for some reason, he was late. Don't ask me the reason. You have to figure that out. And as we just came to the front of the petrol pump, the car went, ran out of fuel. Right there in front of the petrol pump. I said, Ian, thank you. We appreciate your prayer. Filled the car up, and we got home about, 2:30 or something in the morning, we got home. But what am I saying? Why am I telling you the story? You may think, oh, what has that got to do with anything? I'm telling you that for this reason. That here's a young teenager who exercised his like precious faith and got us to the next filling station, which was 2 hours away when there's no fuel in the vehicle. See, God appreciates faith. God honors faith because faith pleases him. But let me just say this. If you've got teenagers, or you're a grandparent and you've got young teenage grandchildren, you need to show them a faith lifestyle. You need to demonstrate a faith lifestyle to your kids or your grandkids. Because I'll tell you now, if you don't, they will go into the world looking for excitement. What can be more exciting than driving for 2 hours with no fuel in your car? You've got to, it's got to work for you. And if you're a grandparent, and some of you are recent grandparents, we've been grandparents for 25 years, but some of you are recent grandparents, you know, you've got babies coming and all of that. You need to, Chris, Samuel, your two new granddads, you need to take those little babies in your arms and pray over them. As the grandfather of the family, I've done this with each of our grandchildren. Pray, oh Father, I commit this little life to you. Now, you've got to do this. You want those little kids to grow up strong and well and healthy and not lost in the world. Father, I commit this little life to you. This is my grandchild. It's come from my own stock down through the system. And here I am. I'm holding my grandchild. I give this grandchild to you just the way Hannah gave Samuel to you. And so, Father, I'm giving the grandchild to you, and I believe that you will minister to this child. I will try to set an example for them. I'll do the best I can, but I know that you will demonstrate through us a faith that works. And, Father, when this little grandchild is growing, it will grow up knowing how to exercise its faith. It will grow up going to school knowing how to live by faith, just like little Esther does here. Esther goes to school, and she's been made the senator in the class. And she's the youngest in a composite class. Some of the others are 2 and 3 years older than she is. And yet they've all voted her. Why? Because she goes to a Christian school, when the teacher will say, we'd like to pray about something. Guess whose hand goes up first? Esther? Okay, Esther, you can pray. And she, because she goes to super kids, she'll pray, thank you, Father, you said in your word, and she'll start quoting scriptures. Amen. I mean, she's 8 years old. Why? Because we took her in our arms, and we agreed that she would grow up just like the others have. And like Ian did here, he knew how to pray to get us to the next filling station. But can I tell you this? You've got the filling station inside.
Yeah.
You've got the filling station inside. See, Faith is standing against what you can see in order to get what you know. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that again. Faith is standing against what you can see in order to get what you know.
Amen. That's right.
Put it on your fridge. I like what Jeremy Pearson says. You all know who Jeremy Pearson is?
Yeah.
He's Kenneth Copeland's grandson. This is what Jeremy says. Jeremy Pearson says, grace is God saying to you, here is all the good stuff that I have for you. And faith is saying, thank you, I'll take it.
Amen.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we take it.
Faith is saying, thank you, I'll take it. See, we have to come to a place, folks, where we learn to respond to situations rather than reacting.
Yeah.
Just come to a place where you can respond according to the Word of God. See, when you start to exercise this like precious faith, I'm going to tell you something. It'll be the end of anxiety. It'll be the end of depression. It'll be the end of sickness. It'll be the end of worry. It'll be the end of fear.
Amen.
Amen.
But if you don't operate in it, it'll be the beginning of fear and worry and all of that. So we need to operate in this like precious faith. You need to use it every day. It's been given to you. God has given you the faith. He's given you the ability to use it. So do yourself a favor and use it. Start to use your faith. And you'll please God and you'll get the blessings that will come upon you. Mm-hmm. Every day we say, thank you, Father. We are linked in to this relationship with you through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Every day I hear Elizabeth use words like, thank you, Father. We are multimillionaires. We're trillionaires. And people think, oh, that's just money. No, it's not. It's all the blessings of God.
Joined
heirs with Jesus. Heirs of God. It's all ours. It's all reserved for us. And don't just think in terms of, you know, your bank account. That's all part of it. But it's about how much love can you share with other people?
Yeah.
What can you do to be a blessing for other people? And just, God wants us to exercise His faith. Can you take all that today?
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you?
Yes.
This means yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
This means no. Russell, can you come finish for us? Praise the Lord.